The contrast in Simon Peter's history between Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 22 is exceedingly striking. The apostle in Matthew chapter 17 was on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he was in the presence of all the brightness of the glory of the Son of Man, and where his heart, always impulsive, was really desirous of doing his master honor. For, in spite of what we read in Luke chapter 22, he loved his master dearly. Here we have something very different, but it is a scene that is of the deepest moment for us, perhaps of deeper moment than that which took place in Matthew chapter 17. For we shall never, in our earthly pathway, behold the Lord as Peter beheld him that day on the mount, but we shall all have the temptation, some day or other, to do as Peter did in Luke chapter 22, that is, to deny the Lord. There are many things very interesting in the history of Peter between Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 22, which we could look at with profit. But we come now to the moment in this man's history when, forgetful of the Lord, full of himself, and tripped up of Satan, he drops into a course which every upright mind must reprehend. Scripture gives us these sorrowful details for our profit, and herein lies the difference between Scripture and every other book. As a rule, biographers tell us only the good, the sweet, the attractive side of a character. They think they should draw the veil of charity over the defects and shortcomings of the one whose memoir they are writing. And this often has a very depressing effect on a young person, who, reading the life of a godly man, gets up from it and says, "I must give it all up, for I can never be like him." But Scripture invariably gives us the dark side as well as the bright. And what does this bring out? Only the grace of the Lord, who can take a saint out of the slough into which he has fallen and make him a more useful vessel than ever before. For this fall breaks the neck of Peter's self-confidence, and he learns not only what he is and what he can do, but he also learns as never before what his master is. If there could have been an occasion when the Lord needed the loyalty of those who loved him, this was the moment. The Passover day had come, and the Lord knew he was going to die. Judas, 6 days before, had sold his master for 30 pieces of silver, the price of the meanest slave. Judas, alas, loved money and lost his soul forever, and many a man today does the same, puts money before Christ. Do not you, I beseech you, my dear friend, follow Judas's example and share his fate forever. It is an intensely solemn fact that every man or woman who is not in the company of Christ is in the clutch of the God of this world, and sooner or later must learn the power of the evil one. In this scripture, the Lord would teach us that even a saint, away from Christ, is in the power of Satan. Up till this moment, the Lord had flung his sheltering wing over his disciples, but now he says to them, as it were, "You must shift for yourselves, I am going away," verses 35 to 38, and to those who come to take him in the garden, he says, "This is your hour and the power of darkness," verse 35. Judas, doubtless before the Passover, had his feet washed when the others had theirs, John chapter 13, and at the supper he received the sop from the Lord, and then he passed out to consummate his wretched work of betrayal. Thereon the Lord turns to Peter and addresses these words to the disciple whom he knew would deny him, but whom he loved, and further, knew that in spite of everything, that disciple loved him devotedly. "Simon, Simon," the Lord says, "behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, restored, strengthen thy brethren," verses 31 to 32. Simon got his warning here. If he had only taken heed to it, what a different sequel would have been recorded. If he had only been chaff and not really wheat, Satan would not have wanted to sift him. It was because he was the real wheat that Satan desired to get him in his power. Satan does not tempt an unconverted person, he tempts a child of God. But he governs and controls entirely the unconverted, drives them before him at his will.